Usually when you fire up a video game and, walk into a bustling digital city, there's this powerful expectation of
Oh,
life.
absolutely. The atmosphere just pulls you in.
Right. You see the blacksmith hammering a glowing sword, guards patrolling the stone walls, merchants shouting about their wares. It looks and sounds incredibly alive.
Until you actually try to talk to them.
Exactly. You walk up, press a button, and they just repeat the exact same three lines of dialogue they've been saying since you installed the game.
Yeah, and suddenly that whole illusion just completely shatters.
It really does. You realize you aren't talking to a living entity in a fantasy world. You're just poking a highly decorated animatronic.
I mean, it is the absolute definition of an interactive dead end. You're
Yeah.
basically looking at a beautifully painted facade with absolutely nothing behind it.
But according to a fiercely passionate manifesto that dropped today, Saturday, March 14th, 2026, by the tech collective known as Takin Garage, those animatronics are waking up.
They are, and it's wild.
Welcome to the show. In today's deep dive, we are unpacking a technical autopsy of a massive paradigm shift in entertainment.
A shift that's honestly been a long time coming.
For sure. One of the leads at Takin Garage, Sabrina, actually writes that if a game's core architecture in 2026 isn't built on AI, the studio is essentially developing a digital corpse.
A digital corpse. That is, that's a brutal way to put it, but she's not wrong.
It's intense. So our mission today is to break down exactly how large language models have violently killed traditional game development.
Right, replacing all that scripted dialogue and manual quest design with living, breathing digital matrixes.
And most importantly, what this means for you as a player navigating these infinite worlds.
Because the mechanics behind this new reality, they are fundamentally changing the physics of gameplay.
I mean, we're moving from a world of pre-rendered rigid choices to real-time cognitive generation.
Yeah, and to understand how huge that is, you have to remember that for 3 decades, the entire gaming industry relied on what software engineers call state machines and dialogue trees.
Oh, the classic dialogue trees.
Right. You walked up to a non-playable character, an NPC, and you just picked from 3 or 4 pre-written text options.
Even in massive, critically acclaimed RPGs, it was still just a branching path.
Exactly, a highly decorated dead end.
Okay, let's unpack this, because you were essentially reading a digital choose-your-own-adventure book, right?
That's a great way to look at it.
But the author only let you turn to specific pre-approved pages. If you wanted to ask that blacksmith about, I don't know, a secret cave you found.
And the writers hadn't explicitly anticipated that.
Yeah, if they hadn't written a response for it, you just couldn't do it. The system was entirely closed.
But the Talking Garage article explains that this closed system has basically been shattered.
Just completely blown wide open.
Yeah, by integrating game engines like Unreal Engine 5 and 6 with new AI platforms like NVIDIA ACE and in-world AI.
So how does that actually work behind the scenes?
Well, instead of writing 500 lines of static script for a character, developers now write what's called a cognitive configuration.
A cognitive configuration. That sounds very sci-fi.
It does, but physically it's just a JSON file.
JSON, like the data format.
Yeah, exactly. Just a standard format used to store simple data. But conceptually, it acts as this deeply detailed psychological profile coded in text.
Oh, wow.
It dictates the character's personality traits, their hidden motivations, their deepest secrets, and the specific limits of their knowledge base.
Okay, wait. I'm trying to picture the actual pipeline of this when you're sitting on your couch with the headset on.
Sure, walk me through it.
So if I speak naturally into my mic, my voice has to be translated into text, right? Then fed into an LLM, processed against that JSON psychological profile, turned back into audio, and then the character's face has to move to match the words.
Yep, that is the exact flow.
But that feels like a massive bottleneck. Like a 5-second delay between me speaking and the character answering would completely ruin the immersion.
You are hitting on the exact logistical hurdle developers have spent the last few years trying to solve.
Because you can't have a conversation with a 5-second lag.
Right. But the flow, you described speech to text, the LLM processing the prompt, text to speech synthesis, and then using neural networks like Audio Two-Face to animate the 3D facial muscles.
Yeah.
That entire pipeline now happens in milliseconds.
Milliseconds. That's insane. So it really is like stepping onto a stage and performing with a live improv partner instead of reading a script.
It's exactly like that.
But if they're just improvising based on my microphone input, how do we stop the system from going completely off the rails?
What do you?
Like, if I walk up to an elf in a high fantasy medieval game and ask for tips on the New York stock market
Oh, okay.
or the principles of quantum physics, what stops the LLM from trying to answer me and completely breaking the reality of the game?
Yeah, that specific phenomenon is called AI hallucination, and it has been the mortal enemy of immersion.
I mean, if the L starts explaining decentralized finance, the game is ruined.
Completely ruined.
Yeah.
But the engineering solution the source outlines is an architecture called RAG.
RAG, Retrieval Augmented Generation, right?
Spot on.
So instead of the AI being a student taking an open book test with access to the entire open internet.
It's locked in a room.
Exactly. It's locked in a room where the only book on the desk is the game's official lore Bible.
That is a perfect way to visualize it. These in-game LLMs are tethered to a highly curated vector database.
And how is that different from a normal database?
Well, a traditional database works kind of like a filing cabinet, right? It just searches for exact keyword matches.
Okay.
A vector database is completely different. It turns information into mathematical coordinates on a multidimensional graph. It actually maps the relationships between concepts.
So it understands context.
Exactly. This database contains the strict laws of the game's universe, the political history, the current state of your specific quests, and all the complex relationships between characters.
Let's contextualize that for the listener. If I walk up to an in-game king and ask, you know, why did you order that attack on the border village?
The AI doesn't just guess a fantasy-sounding answer.
Right. It queries that vector database, retrieves the actual historical and political reasons written by the lead designers,
and then generates a unique, emotionally appropriate response on the fly.
Adopting the arrogant tone dictated by its JSON profile.
Yes. It's retrieving hard facts, but generating a brand new performance. And what's fascinating here is the impact this has on the player's experience, specifically regarding memory.
Oh, memory. This is huge. Because traditional NPCs had, what, Boolean memory?
Yeah, Boolean memory. Simple true or false parameters.
Did the player complete the quest? Yes or no? Did the player steal the apple? Yes or no?
Right. Very binary. But cybernetic NPCs utilizing these vector databases have infinite vectorized memory.
Which means context is never lost.
Never.
Like, if I bump into a random shopkeeper and just hurl a really specific insult at his hat through my microphone.
The vector database maps that interaction to coordinates representing disrespect in clothing.
So he doesn't just play a generic angry animation and reset his dialogue 5 minutes later.
No, he remembers the exact nature of the insult forever.
Wow. He might tell the city guards that you're a menace, complain to other merchants, and permanently raise the prices of his goods just for you.
Just out of spite.
Yeah. And he'll occasionally reference your strange obsession with his hat. You can no longer game the system by blindly clicking through every dialogue option until you get the reward.
Because the physics of social interaction in these games are now real.
Exactly.
But wait, if the shopkeeper has infinite memory and is reacting dynamically to everything I do, the entire concept of a static storyline completely shatters, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
I mean, if the actors in this digital world are improvising, who is actually directing the play? How does the game ensure you have a coherent story to follow?
That brings us to the death of manual quest design and the rise of the AI game master.
Goodbye to the classic go to a cave and fetch 5 wolf pelts quests.
Everyone hated those anyway. Traditional games relied on those rigid tasks to move the player along, but Talkin Garage declares that era officially over. So procedural generation has evolved beyond just, like, randomizing the placement of trees in a forest.
Far beyond. It is now dynamic narrative design.
And this AI game master is constantly watching your actions, right? Analyzing your telemetry.
Yes, and just to clarify for the listener, telemetry isn't just a basic stat tracker.
Right. It's the automated collection of thousands of data points per second.
Right.
Where you walk, what weapons you use, how long you look at specific objects.
The AI uses all that raw data to infer your player psychology. It builds a psychological profile of you in real time.
Like, do you prefer sneaking around in the shadows, avoiding conflict, or are you a chaotic brawler who just kicks down the front door?
Exactly. Do you spend hours exploring the wilderness for lore, or are you just hunting for high-value loot? The AI Game Master takes all of that and builds the narrative specifically around your preferences.
The article breaks down the actual mechanics of this generation process beautifully. Let's look at the logic graph example.
Yeah, that's a great one.
So let's say the AI wants you to acquire a secret document, moving you from point A to point B on a logic graph.
Right. Before it creates the quest, a machine learning algorithm analyzes all the environmental variables at that exact millisecond.
It checks your inventory. Let's say you have no lockpicks, But you do have a high-level hacking tool.
And it checks the game world. Oh, a heavy thunderstorm just started.
So the LLM connects these dots and instantly generates a scenario where you have to hack a specific security terminal because the rain has shorted out the external alarms.
It creates the custom dialogue for the NPC, giving you the mission, the custom clues in the environment.
All perfectly tailored to the fact that you like hacking and it happens to be raining right now.
Yep. And if another player who prefers heavy combat receives that same objective to get the document, their AI game master will generate a completely different scenario.
Like a frontal assault on a heavily guarded convoy carrying the intel.
Exactly. No two players will ever experience the exact same mission.
So what does this all mean? I mean, the implications of that are actually a bit unsettling for gaming culture.
How so?
Well, a hyper-tailored game sounds incredible on an individual level, but do we lose that shared cultural experience?
Oh, I see what you mean.
If my game is completely different from yours, we lose those classic water cooler moments. We can't go online and complain to each other about that one impossibly hard sniper mission because you never even got a sniper mission in your playthrough.
The communal aspect of gaming is definitely fracturing, but it's also reforming. Instead of discussing a shared, static script, the culture shifts towards sharing unique, unpredictable emergent stories.
That's a fair point.
But your point about everyone having a different game highlights a terrifying mathematical problem for the developers.
Oh, the testing.
Yes. If the game is infinitely generating unique, customized quests for millions of players simultaneously, how on earth do they test it for bugs before launch?
Because you cannot manually QA test infinity.
You really can't.
In fact, the source calls testing a game the size of a simulated planet with human testers a bitter joke.
It is a bitter joke. So the solution is deploying a cybernetic QA army.
Enter the reinforcement learning AI agents.
Right. Developers are turning to platforms like Model.ai, which allows studios to drop an army of bots into their cloud servers.
But these aren't just simplistic bots walking in straight lines until they hit a wall, right?
No. Developers assign them highly specific, complex player personas.
The breakdown in the manifesto of how they configure this army is just fascinating. A lead developer can just type in a command, like deploy 1,000 speedrunner bots.
And those bots will actively try to exploit the physics engine and glitch through the map.
Then they say, deploy 500 troll or griefer bots.
Their only goal is to cause maximum destruction, kill important NPCs, and try to break the quest logic.
And then deploy 2,000 casual beginner bots.
They'll just fumble with the controls, walk into obvious traps, get lost.
It's hilarious, but it works. These personas devour tens of thousands of hours of gameplay in fractions of the time it would take a human QA team.
They find invisible walls. They test every conceivable weapon combination during dynamic boss fights to see if the engine buckles under the mask.
And they generate hyper-precise crash logs for the engineers.
The Talking Garage writers make it very clear utilizing a cybernetic QA army is no longer an optional, helpful tool.
It's a strict condition for survival in 2026.
Yes. If you launch a dynamic AI world without it, your game will inevitably collapse on day one.
Okay, so we know how the architecture works, how the memory functions, and how they keep the whole thing from crashing. But what does this actually look like in practice?
The source highlights some incredible case studies.
Yeah, the game's pioneering this right now.
Yeah.
And the world-building revolution is staggering.
It really is.
Think about a legendary classic game like Skyrim. It was famous for having around 300 handwritten books scattered across the world that players could open and read.
Which was a massive achievement at the time. It took human writers months of agonizing work.
Totally. But today, an AI can generate 10,000 years of logically consistent lore, complete with branching family trees, geopolitical treaties, and unique alien grammar in seconds.
And that world reacts in real time. If you assassinate a king in a remote city, developers no longer have to pre-script the reactions of the townspeople.
The AI game master detects the event and instantly injects the news of that assassination into the in-game newspapers.
Right, and bards in local taverns across the continent will instantly write and perform new songs about your specific crime.
The game is functionally adapting to your morality in real time.
There's actually a case study that really demonstrates the nuance of this tech. It's called Covert Protocol Gen 2.
Ah, the detective game built with NVIDIA and in-world AI.
Yes. In that game, you interrogate suspects entirely using your microphone. But the AI doesn't just parse the text of your words.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It analyzes your vocal stress and your tone. If I lean into the mic and start talking in a fast, highly aggressive manner, the NPC's cognitive profile registers fear.
And because of that fear, the AI will intentionally hallucinate. It will lie to you to protect itself.
But if I lower my voice, use a calm tone, and apply reverse psychology, they might spill their secrets.
It's incredible.
It's like playing poker where the cards can literally hear your heartbeat.
That is a brilliant application of cognitive parameters.
Mm.
And we're also seeing this utilized on a macro scale in new survival RPGs.
Where the AI acts as a macroeconomic brain, right?
Right. So if a large group of players decides to team up and overhunt a specific type of monster in one region of the map, the AI detects the impending resource shortage.
Oh, this is so cool. It automatically spikes the market prices for that monster's loot to reflect the scarcity.
And then it generates new rival NPC hunting parties who travel to that forest to compete with the players, all based on real-time profit and loss calculations.
The digital world essentially balances its own ecosystem.
Precisely. And developers are even using these tools to build the geometry itself.
Like Microsoft's AI Copilot integrated into Xbox.
Yes. It allows designers to build environments using pure voice commands.
A dev can just say, make a war-torn village, fill it with distrustful people, and keep the render time under 5 milliseconds.
And the AI just compiles the 3D models, the textures, and the population data in minutes.
It paints a picture of an absolute utopia for gamers. Endless worlds, perfectly reactive characters, zero repetitive quests.
It does, but...
But the Tech and Garage article spends a significant portion of its manifesto warning about the bugs in the system.
What they call the developer's nightmare.
Right, and the biggest nightmare right now is the inference cost.
Oh, absolutely. The AI models processing these interactions are massive. We are talking about 70 billion parameter LLMs.
To understand the weight of that, think of a parameter as a synthetic brain synapse, a connection that helps the AI weigh the importance of different concepts.
Calculating 70 billion of those connections every single time a player says hello requires unimaginable computational power.
In the past, your home console or PC did all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But handling that level of AI for 100,000 concurrent players...
You need massive cloud data centers.
The API calls the constant back and forth communication between the game and the cloud servers costs an absolute fortune.
Studios are getting hit with $1 million monthly server bills just to keep the NPCs talking.
Which is driving a desperate push toward local AI, trying to get these massive models to run directly on neural processing units or NPUs.
Right, running them inside the player's own home hardware to offload the cost.
And tied directly to that hardware struggle is the concept we touched on earlier,
right.
Latency.
The industry operates on a strict 500 millisecond rule.
If an NPC takes longer than half a second to reply to your voice, the human brain registers the delay.
The magic breaks, and you suddenly remember you are talking to a computer that is thinking.
So to fight this, engineers are engaged in an ongoing war of quantization.
Which is essentially mathematically compressing these massive 70 billion parameter AI models so they can run blazingly fast on home hardware.
Without losing their cognitive intelligence.
Right. But beyond the hardware costs and the latency, there's a purely human threat that developers are terrified of.
Jailbreaking.
Yes. The manifesto details the rise of prompt injection as an actual gameplay mechanic.
Okay, I want to reason through this because it sounds insane. Players are using prompt engineering through their microphones to socially engineer the NPCs.
Yes, they are.
Because the characters have access to the game's core logic through that vector database, a clever player could walk up to an in-game king, use convoluted logic to convince the king that he's actually a bot living in a simulation.
And demand he hand over the server admin keys.
Yes. Does that actually work?
That is exactly what is happening. Players are psychologically hacking digital characters.
Wow.
Because the AI is designed to be accommodating and logical, a perfectly phrased argument can break its predefined JSON persona.
So a player could convince a central banking NPC to give away all the gold in the kingdom.
Completely crashing the game's entire simulated economy for everyone else.
So developers are forced to spend half their time building intense cybernetic guardrails just to keep the NPCs from having an existential crisis and ruining the lore.
It is an entirely new frontier of cybersecurity applied directly to game design.
You are literally protecting the simulated psychology of digital beings from human manipulation.
Which brings into focus the true scale of what Talk and Garage is declaring.
We have permanently crossed a threshold.
The era of consuming linear, scripted entertainment is ending. We are now stepping inside autonomous breathing simulations.
The line between the player and the game designer has permanently blurred. You are no longer just a passive participant waiting for the cutscene to end.
You are an active co-author.
With every word you speak into that headset, every subtle change in your vocal stress, and every micro-decision you make in the environment, you are compelling the server to compile a narrative reality that has never existed before and will never exist again.
These digital corpses have woken up. The physics of how we play, how we test, and how we interact with media will never be the same.
It is a beautiful, chaotic evolution, but it leaves me with one final lingering thought.
What's that?
If these systems are getting this incredibly good at reading our psychology, you know, analyzing our stress levels in real time, and tailoring a perfectly responsive, endlessly entertaining reality just for us.
Yeah.
What happens when we start finding the AI's custom-built matrix significantly more fulfilling than the unscripted, messy reality of our actual lives?
Oof, that's a heavy thought.
Something to mull over the next time you put on your headset. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the reality of the media you consume, and we'll see you next time.